Welcome to AM Best Audio.
IBM's Institute for Business Value just published a report on how generative AI is being used in the insurance industry. It's based on surveys of 1,000 C-suite executives and 4,700 insurance customers in 23 countries. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to IBM Global Insurance Director Mark McLaughlin, one of the authors of that report. Mark, so glad you could join us today.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
So, Mark, do insurance executives see Gen AI as more of a risk or more of an opportunity or perhaps even both?
Well, it's a good starting point for reviewing this. The study found about 50-50 split on that. But, behind kind of the headline number, the insurance executives clearly feel the pressure to move into generative AI. That's a combination of they see their competitors potentially building advantage and all their stakeholders and their board members are saying, what are you doing in generative AI? So, our industry in insurance, just as with other industries, is very excited about the possibility. I think that's tempered in insurance by the risks involved in getting generative AI wrong. Or, of course, there's a separate risk of I didn't do anything in generative AI, now my competitors have, and now I'm in trouble from a business competition standpoint. But I think it's doing generative AI right, doing it in a way that's free from bias, in a way that's compliant with regulations, in a way that builds competitive and sustainable advantage in, the insurance business. I think it's just a little bit of a measured approach versus we don't think we're going to do anything.
So a little bit of FOMO out there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some FOMO, but on the, you're walking between, two poles here, right? Because on the one hand, there's FOMO. And on the other hand, there's, the regulators are now sanctioning me because I didn't use AI correctly. And if you look at some of the, regulation in the financial services space, clearly there are significant penalties to getting it wrong. And, that's why IBM's very active in the marketplace with tools like watsonx.governance to monitor and manage those AI risks.
So should we expect to see more money being pumped into AI technology by insurers?
Absolutely. They are projected to increase their investment probably 300% over the next year or two. I think the questions are, how are those dollars effectively spent, both in terms of, what models I use, what approach I use to picking models, and which use cases are really relevant for generative AI. And we see some very clear areas where there is a return on investment. We have insurers today, using AI to help with customer direct engagement or end insured engagement, actually having those conversations with end customers. A few years ago, I don't know that there was as much confidence in that. We're seeing a lot of work in the digital labor space using generative AI to help claims adjusters adjust more quickly and more accurately, help underwriters, manage a case more effectively, help the audit department or the compliance department respond to regulatory requests and manage the risks in the business. And then the third area is actually within IT, using generative AI to be more efficient, to improve the speed at which you can modernize applications or make those applications easier to modernize, which sort of changes the economics around what's been called sort of the legacy legacy core systems problem in our industry for many years. Those economics are changing quite a bit because it's now easier to maintain some of those old systems, but it's also easier to convert off those old systems to new ones. And so that balance, it needs reexamination in the light of generative AI.
So I got to admit, Mark, when you said insurers may increase their spending by up to 300% over the next year or so, that really got my attention.
Yeah, it's right now we believe it's about 10% of IT budget when you kind of go all in around the generative AI work and the processes and improvements that they're trying to make within IT. That percentage may climb. I did see some public reference. I don't know that generative AI is net new spending. It is spending that is felt to be absolutely essential, and it may, for insurers that are always looking to keep an eye on their expense ratios. It's going to be what do I not do when I'm spending my money on generative AI?
Right.
The good news is there's such great return on investment. You know, we're seeing, and you know, we have some of these cases, you know, up publicly on our website, right? We're seeing, you know, call centers being able to divert 70-80% of their call center traffic. We're seeing net promoter scores go up by a few points. We're seeing, you know, code modernization acceptance rates in the 80s and 90s percent, right? So you're getting real productivity improvements in return for that AI investment. So it changes what insurers can do with IT as a result.
In the meantime, no more free coffee in the office, right?
So, yeah. And, you know, though at least people are coming back in the office, right? You know, clearly the return to work mode is hitting insurance just like everybody else.
So, Mark, what were some of the other key takeaways of the survey?
Well, you know, I think there were a couple of key findings that are worth reviewing with your listeners, right? One is, if you look at what insurers want to do with generative AI relative to their end insureds, and then you ask the end insureds what they want, it's not necessarily quite matching up, and it's a little subtle. Right? The insurers are trying to personalize the experience, right? They're thinking natural language. Do I use your name? Do I not ask you for your policy number 5 times? Right? It's sort of the interaction feel natural. But what the customers actually want is, help me really understand my risk. And make me feel like the product you are selling me actually matches that risk. Don't make me feel like I'm being sold a product. Make me feel like you understand my risk and you're helping me meet it. And that's a subtle distinction, but it's one that's really important. Insurers are going to have to think about how many products do they have in the marketplace and what personalization features are built into those products, not just personalization of the interaction, but actual products that are relevant to, you know, to the end customer. And, you know, we've done studies for a few years now on product diversity in insurance, and we anticipate more products and finer grain products. And then the AI's role is to help match the right product to the right situation. Help me save for college. Help me plan for retirement. I've got a job loss. I've got an elder care situation. Help me plan for those things. I just bought a second home and it's in Miami. What, you know, how do I find insurance that's in any way affordable, but is going to protect me in the case of a hurricane? Like, those are the sorts of questions AI should be having discussions in depth with customers with, as should humans. And if you do it right, you've got a kind of blended conversation between the generative AI, you know, using the right models that can, you know, have those insurance conversations, but blending that with the human touch where it's needed and where it's adding value and where it builds relationship and trust.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
And I would imagine the generative AI will remember to ask all the questions, unlike the humans does.
You can get to some consistency of interaction with the AI models, right? You're right. You know, if you build them the right way, they're going to do a nice job. But they also can be relatively freeform in its response. So, I think getting the interactions scoped right, where you say, "Hey, these sorts of conversations, the generative AI will do a good job," and it's available 24 hours. And some customers actually like interacting with the chatbot versus the human kind of thing. You know, you've got to balance that with, hey, there are transactions where the customer is just going to feel better if they talk to a human. And then the question becomes, does the human give you the right answer? That's when we talk about digital labor and we talk about tools like our Watson X Orchestrate. The AI is good enough to help the call center worker, help the underwriter, help the claims adjuster, right? They used to have an underwriting workstation with 30 different, you know, applications available in one workstation. That was progress, but you're still having to navigate 30 applications. The AI is getting good enough now where you can take the AI and have that conversation with the call center worker or with the underwriter, and they can ask the tool the question, and then it can go out and deal with all the underlying systems. So It allows you not only to have a good conversation with the insured, but it also allows the humans having a conversation with the insured to have much better, much deeper conversations. And they're much faster because they're not trying to navigate. They're not concentrating on navigating their screen. They're concentrating on having the conversation.
I never really thought about it, but that should reduce your errors and admissions exposure. But I guess that's a conversation for another day, right, Mark?
Well, you know, I think it has the potential to do that. You know, it's where we're seeing a lot of interest is things like the AI is good enough now. We've demonstrated this with some of our clients. You know, you can live transcribe these conversations on the phone and automatically make recommendations to the human, you know, at the insured's end, saying, hey, you know, based on the conversation so far, might want to recommend these products, might want to ask these questions, might want to clarify this point, might want to sell this particular emotional need. You know, the ability for AI to go back and analyze the past conversations you've had with the insured and come up with, you know, new conversations for that insured, and also best practice across all your conversations with all the insureds, right? There's some really exciting opportunities to you know, serve our customers better. And you know, to that point, another key finding of our study, you've got to sort of release AI out to the business users that are actually, you know, having the conversations with the customers, designing the products, designing the marketing campaign. We've seen companies try and sort of centralize AI and lock it down a little bit. And hey, from a risk management standpoint, I understand the instinct, and from a skill standpoint, it makes sense at one level. But if you look at the productivity of the companies that are doing the most with generative AI, the ones who are getting the net promoter score improvements, the ones that are getting the customer satisfaction improvements, they are making AI available to the enterprise. They are making data available to the enterprise and getting your architecture right, where you can distribute the data to everybody, where everybody has access to all the data, and where everybody has access to maybe multiple AI models, not just one. And they can kind of find the right model that's going to help them with the task that they're trying to improve. If you can distribute AI that way and you can distribute data that way, it really unlocks competitive advantage for the insured. And you need, you know, platforms, and WatsonX absolutely is one of them, that'll let you try different models against a problem, that will let you access different databases against a problem, that will manage the data and AI through governance to make sure that that data and AI is being accessed appropriately and without bias. Like those horizontal capabilities around AI are hugely important. That was another finding of our study.
So how should insurers then be reacting to the survey, and what should they be doing as it pertains to AI?
You know, three key points. Make sure that you're working on the right use cases that are going to help the customer have a deeper and more meaningful conversation about risk, and then matching products to that risk, right? So get beyond the idea of I'm selling them a product, and get to a risk experience where the customer has a holistic kind of conversation with you and with humans who are coached by the AI. To really identify this is the right product for you, and these are the right features that are going to make you feel good about buying that product. Second big point: use AI to help, you know, kind of democratize the access to data and the access to AI across the enterprise. If you lock AI in one model, if you lock AI inside the IT department, it's going to be much more difficult for you to really build the competitive advantage that you need. It's scary to kind of let AI models and data out into the field, but if you have the right governance and the right security around those things, it's absolutely possible. There are platforms like IBM WatsonX that does this today. You can really unleash generative AI in all of your business processes and do some really great things. And then the third point is use AI to sort of solve the IT problems underneath all that. You know, we dug into sort of AI implementation in the IT department in this study, and found things like, 71% of insurers are struggling with technical debt and legacy costs, and their average run to build ratio is 2-1, right? So they're spending twice as much on just running the systems as they are actually building anything new. The companies that think they have the biggest problem are the ones who are actually the best, right? So you have to be thoughtful about reducing complexity. You have to be thoughtful about how I'm going to implement AI, even though things are complicated. I'm going to try and implement it because the benefits are just too great. And then using AI to actually solve the infrastructure problem itself, right? You know, many insurers, you know, have core systems. 77% of them have core systems at least 6 years old. And yet we're using generative AI today to modernize some of the older applications, modernize some of the code. And we are getting, you know, code acceptance rates in the 80s and 90%. So I can name insurers that are using this with hundreds of developers today. If you're not taking advantage of AI in your IT to modernize the applications, to handle security incidents, to handle security response and reporting, like, you're missing the boat. There's absolutely opportunity to optimize IT, take that savings, build more AI, and really, really do something neat with the customer.
Interesting. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
I appreciate the good questions. Thank you.
That was Mark McLaughlin, IBM's Global Insurance Director, and I'm John Weber for IAM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.